Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's a Monday, a beautiful Monday, November 5th, right outside our window. Although it's the same weather every day, pretty much. It doesn't matter what day, you know. Put your finger on the calendar, that day will be
the same. Some days are chillier.
Yeah, but, you know, the same.
Like, Saturday was hot.
But it's the same, nice same, right?
Yeah, it's not beautiful. Like shitty. Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess I'll miss that, right? Yeah. I'll miss the sunshine.
For sure.
In Oregon and
shit. Good luck to you.
But yeah, when it does shine, it shines pretty nicely. But, you know, like I look at the weather forecast and stuff, and it's like, it says, you know, a week's worth of rain one day after another. But then when that day comes, it's sunny.
Right.
So I looked like they have like a whole sunny week. I'm like, oh, well. You know, although it's 2 months away,
right,
still.
Right.
I'll be getting there at the dead of winter, man. Right in January.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. What can you do?
Nothing.
So, welcome to the show, everybody. November 5th means one thing, and that is tomorrow's the election.
Right.
And are you staying away from the polls?
Yes.
Okay. I'll vote for you, okay?
I wish I could vote. I didn't do the absentee.
Oh, yeah, because you're not registered here.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, maybe just, you could have voted in,
if you like vote, an absentee ballot. Can you vote online?
No, but you could have done an absentee ballot, but that would have had to happen before.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's okay.
I'm surprised that it's 2018 and you can't vote online. Like, why can't you just vote from your, like, in your living room?
I know, because it's open to hacking and they don't want to play around.
Oh, right. That's true.
But I wonder at what point it's actually going to change and they'll trust what.
Because the whole driving, finding parking, waiting in those lines,
dealing
with people that are voting the opposite.
But you know what?
You.
It's part of the election day, you know? It's a little party and stuff, but. But tomorrow's important, so your family will vote for you. It's
mm-hmm.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking? A Coke?
No, Red Bull.
Oh, Red Bull?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a new can.
The right? Cranberry edition.
Oh, okay.
You guys can pay me for that plug. Thanks.
Yeah, there you go. Red Bull. What the hell, man?
I need a little burst of energy this morning.
Really? Does it do it for you as far as
no,
energy?
No, it's like a placebo.
Right.
It's like you drink it and you're like, yes, and then it's like it didn't do shit.
Right.
That's like your natural energy. So, but I felt like I needed a little bit of sugar this morning, so I stopped and I got a Red Bull.
Good for you.
Yeah. And I had a great night's sleep. I went to bed around 11.
Oh, cool.
And I slept through the night. It's the first night I didn't wake up.
And it's easier to get up because it's later in the day, right? I mean, it's the same hour, but it's like it would have been 9 o'clock. You know, if you get up at 8, it would have been 9 o'clock.
Oh, right, right.
Before we moved the clock.
Right.
So, or actually, no, it would have been 7. So it's earlier, you know, it was harder to get up. I know.
I'm so confused.
And
yeah,
I'm usually good with those things, but no.
We gained an hour of sleep.
No, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we're getting up later in the day now because, you know, because you moved the clock, 7 o'clock now occurs at 8, actually.
No.
Yes.
The opposite. Back.
That's true. What's that?
7 o'clock went to 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a fallback.
No, but think about it. Let's say before.
I get what you're saying, but you're saying it wrong.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you.
So basically our bodies think it's 8,
I mean,
but it's
the
really
sun,
7.
The sun is higher now when we get up at the same time.
That's because it's actually an hour later.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. It's an hour later.
Yeah,
even though we moved
says.
It back.
Yeah.
We moved it back, but it's an hour later.
Yeah, like this morning I was up dead awake at 6:15 because I think my body thought it was 7:15.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And that's usually around the time I get up.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Good for you, Sam.
Anyway, the voice you're hearing in the background, who's now in the foreground.
Oh, I'm in the foreground.
Is Jim Christina.
I'm impressed.
A very good friend of the show, a friend of mine, a host at LA Talk Radio. How long has it been? Almost 3 years, you say?
Oh, no. We're working on fourth year right now.
Fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love having you, man.
Well, we love being here.
And if you didn't have the show, we probably would have never met. So
that's right.
I'm really grateful to that. Tell us a little bit about your show, The Writer's Block, Thursdays at 7
right.
p.m. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
I was just going to say that, right here on LA Talk
Radio. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
We talk to authors, and it's geared towards new writers. And we talk to authors about their process and a little bit about their books and
yeah, and you're into books and stuff. Tell us a little bit. You have a publishing company.
I do.
And you work, and you write as well.
Correct.
And what is the latest book you've written?
The latest book I wrote was with Richard Polinelli, and it's called The Last Lonely Trail.
Uh huh.
And the one I'm working on now is called Jefferson's Chance.
Oh wow! Are these all like westerns?
Yeah.
Some of them are, right?
Some of them are.
Right.
Oh, actually, they all are.
Really?
Yeah.
And how do you relate to that period of time?
I studied it in school.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Plus, I'm just a big, huge history nut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
Now you can pay me for that one, too.
Yeah. Right. Pay us, bitches.
Do you watch like history documentaries and things like that sometimes?
I do, if they're interesting. I mean, a lot of them are,
I hate documentaries. I was going to say that the other day when we had a guest on, but I was like, nobody watches them.
That's not true.
I know, people do watch them.
Because you learn things from them.
Yeah.
You
they're
see
so
things.
Boring.
Well, it depends what.
It depends on whether you like the subject.
So
would you like to see... like animals in the wild, like eating each other.
No.
Like, no,
no. I love animals, but the last thing I want to do is see a lion fuck up a zebra.
Okay.
Like I don't want to.
Well, what
see
about
that.
If they tell you how to raise animals? Wouldn't that be interesting? Like if they told you, here's how to raise your dog. You know, I mean that would be a documentary.
I feel like that could be a YouTube video.
Yeah,
not a documentary.
It's like my occasional co-host Russ Avison is a dog trainer, as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to see a video of Russ training a dog, I would go to sleep.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I love Russ. If you're listening, I love you. But
no, but they could be talking about dog trainers or something, you know, make a documentary.
That's true.
About
you
that.
Could be talking about dog trainers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, who cares?
Yep.
But at any rate, so you write fiction.
I do.
And do you have a character that's recurring in your books? Or are they all each
some
one
of
its
my
own?
Books have characters that were recurring, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's like more than one. There's well, probably I'd say 6-7 that come in.
Wow. I mean the writing process fascinates me, you know, how you come up with stories, how you don't know?
No, I don't. I honestly don't. You know, storylines usually come to me while I'm writing another book.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you get ideas, you associate things.
And my last full book that I wrote was a book called Jonah Blue about a mountain man, a kid who ran away from Ohio at 10 years old and went and became a mountain man.
Wow.
That book, the entire story came to me in a dream.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I normally don't remember.
The entire story.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Do you
my
ever
dreams.
Have this happen to you where
I
you get
like,
stories in your head?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And like, I don't remember a lot of dreams, but the dreams I do remember, I'm like, I can make a movie out of that.
Exactly. Really? And that's what happened. I woke up and the title was there, everything was there. And yeah, the whole story from start to end.
Right.
And it's actually in three parts.
Wow. Unfortunately, I feel like that's God's way of saying, like, you should do something with this, but a lot of us don't do anything with it. Like, right. I can't even tell you how many great dreams I'm like, I can make a movie out of this.
Yeah.
And I was like, then I'm like, whatever, bye.
Yeah, and then a book I wrote called Still Waters and Jonah Blue are over at with Suzanne DePass's office now. She's a big producer. She does a lot of westerns.
Oh, really?
She did Lonesome Dove and a few
nice.
Others. And so I'm just got, you know, fingers and toes crossed to see if, you know, that's going to come out of the stack and
well,
make
I'm
it to her reading materials.
Right. You're definitely talented. You're smart. You know a lot of things. And that helps when you write a book.
It does help when you write.
Right?
And it also helps to know how to spell the.
Yeah, right?
It's true.
Yeah. Well, that depends what you think is, right?
Right.
What the meaning of is.
It is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
More
so,
that.
So that's Jim Christina, and like we said, you can catch him on Thursdays, and we'll beat that into your head until you don't forget before the show is over.
Yep.
But we're going to talk about a lot of different things. Jim is here to shoot the breeze with us. He doesn't really have anything to promote, right? Unless maybe you
not
don't.
Today.
Not today.
Just well, here to show.
We already promoted your books without even noticing. So
yeah.
There you go. We'll tell people how they can.
I couldn't even list my titles to you right now. I couldn't.
Really?
I don't think.
Wow.
I know there's more than.
How long have you been writing, Jim? All your life?
No. Well, yeah, primarily, I not seriously until 2008.
Oh wow! Yeah. So it's rather new for you.
Fairly new, but 10 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll still get to the point where I write.
You know, it's never too late to start writing, and that's what we tell everybody. Right. Never too late.
And I love to write. Once I sit down, I love to write. And I write well, you know. So
right.
Anyway, so back to Danny, because we need some juicy stories.
Back to me.
Juicy stories, anything happened over the weekend we need to know about?
Friday night, I went to the roast of Odell Beckham, the football player. Mm-hmm. I told you about this. It was actually a good time. I had a good time, yeah.
Was it funny?
No.
Not funny.
Oh, my God, the comedians.
Oh, an unfunny roast. How great, huh?
Like, I've never seen, like, people were actually being booed.
Really?
And I was like, oh, and it was being filmed. So I was like, this is horrible. Wow. You know? Even that roaster, Joe Ross, he's like the host for all the roast. He was like, even like, this is brutal. Like he got up. He's like, this is brutal.
Really?
Like, oh my God. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was fun. I ended up leaving early, but there was like a lot of celebrities there. So it was cool. I should have stayed after the roast. Because they could have networked or whatever. But I was just like, I'm going home.
Really?
Yeah, because I had to go to Complex Con on Saturday, and I knew I had to be up by like 8.
Okay, Complex Con, what's that?
So it's like a sneaker. It's not like really it's sneakers, but it's like sneaker brands. So like Nike, Adidas, they have like limited edition stuff. It's in a convention center, and they have like live concerts. Like they had a bunch of celebrities perform, and they had like a bunch of setups, and everybody goes and walks around. There's food trucks outside. Oh. It's like a good event. It's like there's so many guys there.
Yeah,
it's like overwhelming. But I went and I wore ripped jeans, and at some point, because there's bars, so everyone was getting like fucked up.
Right.
Towards the end of the night, I was like, someone's about to get knocked the fuck out.
Really?
Yeah. Like guys were so aggressive.
Really?
So aggressive.
Wow.
And I'm pretty nice.
Jim, do you believe guys do that? Actually, they're like. Touch you, right?
Yeah.
They grab you.
Yeah. Like, grope. No problem. Like, I can't even tell you how many people touched my ass on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah, I believe it. But then, see, fortunately, the climate in the country now is that they feel that you can.
Oh,
I feel
on.
Like they can.
Come
Hashtag
on.
Me too.
But this has happened for years. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, but not as bad.
New.
I mean, I don't go to clubs.
Yeah.
I haven't. I've never
been to clubs.
Well,
this isn't a club. This is like an arena, like
a
convention
but,
center.
I mean, I've gone to like conventions and shit,
right,
you know?
Right.
And it's always been hands off the girls.
Right. No, not at this convention.
But
holy
it depends
shit.
Where, yeah. Because, I mean, in many cultures, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally okay, you know?
Well, I used to go to the SEMA show every year. That's the big automotive industry in Nevada, Las Vegas. And they would hire all these models, and I mean...
Yeah, and they're naked. They're like naked.
Well, almost.
Basically, because
I used to do the car shows.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be like in the skimpiest bikini you can put them in.
Right.
And it used to be all hands on deck, and now it's the last 10 years, it's been no.
Yeah, right? They stay away
from them. Well, they have guards there, and they make sure that you don't touch the girls.
Yeah.
Right. What I'm saying is I don't even think they have the girls anymore because there's a backlash on that.
Well, I think they may have dressed more.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Like, they're not in thongs anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They'll be, like, in little shorts and, like, a crop top now.
Right.
Signing posters that guys masturbate to. Like,
oh, God.
It's the truth.
That's true.
So, yeah, that was the event. It was really fun in the beginning. And my homeboy from Boston flew out because he owns Concepts. And he got me a ticket, and he took care of me all day, like free drinks, free food, anything you can name.
Oh, wow. So you're well connected sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I know the right people. And then I left at like 7, and the drive back from Long Beach was brutal.
Why? The traffic?
It was just long.
Really?
It took me an hour and a half.
From Long Beach to Hollywood?
Long Beach, yeah. Wow. And I don't know if it's because everyone was at the convention and coming back or what, but it took a long time.
Yeah.
So by the time I got back, I zonked out. And yesterday I didn't do shit but chill.
Yeah.
Because Gabby's here in 2 days.
Yeah. Her twin sister is coming out.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
So that should be nice. You know what? I totally booked Thursday and Friday and we were going to have her here. But know what? She can still be here. We'll have room.
Right. She'll show.
Yeah.
Even if she just comes in to meet you, she'll just be like,
yeah, plus, yeah, yeah.
Well, Thursday, she's not going to come because her flight gets in late. Okay. And I think she's going to be jet lagged, so she'll sleep in, but Friday she'll come in.
Okay, let me see what I can do with Friday. Maybe we can move someone.
Maybe they can come in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or something.
No, but we have guests all week.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever. It is what it is. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah. No sweat. No big deal. But yeah, so the convention was good, and then I'm never rude to a guy when he comes up to me. Like, if a guy compliments me, I'm never gonna be like, put the hand up, and like, plus you never know who's a serial killer these days. Like, you don't want to insult the wrong person.
Piss the wrong guy off with an axe in his hand.
Right, exactly. But there was like a few guys towards the end of the night, like, touch my hair, touch my ass, try to grab my hand. I'm like, I'm about to lose my shit. So I looked at my homeboy, I was like, I'm out, this is my cue.
Wow.
Yeah. Plus, I was sober, so I drank all day, and I knew I had to drive home.
Right.
So when that tequila starts to like come down, I'm like, nobody talk to me.
Right. Right.
I'm going home.
Wow. That. I mean, Jim, that's pretty unsafe to go out like that for a woman, don't you think? I mean, to be.
Well, she was with somebody.
Well, no, I was with a group of dudes, and they were like protective
right, but
too.
Still, right. But there's still people touching you. Yeah. It's like the worst feeling ever.
Mm-hmm. And they can't really do anything because once they touch me, but the guys that I was with were like, don't touch her. Like. Like,
yeah, that would to me would be a total deterrent. And I mean, there's a chick there that's really cute, and she's being surrounded by guys that are all her friends.
Right,
right.
You don't roll in and grab an ass, right. You know, because you're liable to lose teeth.
Right, right. But nobody cares. Literally, nobody cares. So crazy. It was just like an open. Like all you smelled was weed smoke. Everyone in that bitch was smoking.
Whoa.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I probably won't go back, but
yeah.
The guy that I used to date went yesterday, not the day I went.
Okay, good. Better like, that
way. Yeah, because if I ever saw him with the chick, I'd probably freak out.
Right, right. Now, Jim, let me ask you this. You touched on a very controversial political point there with the that it's okay now.
Well, no, to grow up women. It to be political. It's just...
No, but this is to blame. How can you blame a whole society for something, you know, that just... One person has done something or said something, and suddenly we're blaming. Like the same with the bomber, the same with the shooter at the thing. It seems like people are trying to blame somebody for mistakes that individuals are making.
Right.
What do you think?
I mean,
don't you think people have always groped women even before Donald Trump came along?
Well, I wasn't going to mention that name, but as long as you
No,
did.
But I am, right, because right. That's what we're all referring to.
Well, no, not necessarily. It's just, you know, the times have changed. And unfortunately, for the generations that are coming up underneath us,
right,
the mores and morals have changed.
Yeah.
And they feel more open to do things such as grab butts and openly do it.
Right.
Because it's the attitudes have changed. I'm not talking about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, he does the same thing. I mean, you know, he's as big an asshole as most of the guys you met.
Right.
But, you know, I just think, unfortunately, that the morals and mores of this country have changed to the point where younger men feel it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
And I would say, I'd like to just interrupt here and say that, like, I think...
You're not interrupting. You're part of the conversation.
You are. It was your ass.
Yeah. Touche. But I would like to say that people sometimes see, like, your Instagram and put you under a category that you might not necessarily be under. Like, if you saw my Instagram, like, I make a lot of videos about sex, even though I particularly don't have a lot of sex. I talk about the body. I post my body. And I've had guys that, like, will speak to me and be like, oh, I want to do this to you and that to you. And I'm like, you ain't doing shit. And they're like, well, your Instagram page, like, you're so sexy and you talk about sex. And I go, that's my page. That's right. What I want you to see. That's not what you can have.
Right.
So I feel like men have come to the conclusion that if you talk about it as a woman or if you present yourself in a sexy way, that it's okay for other people to do that with you as well.
Right.
And well, it's like, maybe, you can't.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, you're inviting that. You're putting it out there.
I mean,
know?
It's okay to have a conversation.
I'm just saying that I don't see how he can like go from you talking about sexy things to you wanting to have sex with him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, that's
it's
a pretty
big leap.
It's
two completely different things.
Yeah. You know, just because I put myself out there in a swimsuit doesn't mean I want to be groped or whistled at or whatever.
Right.
You know?
That's like saying back in the day when those dudes used to model at Abercrombie with no shirt on. Because they have no shirt on, we can grope them.
Right.
Like, we can just come up and, like, grab your dick. We can't do that. Yeah. So you can't grab our pussy, period. Yeah. Or our ass, or our tits, or our hair, or our hands. Don't fucking touch us.
I don't know who the hell grabs, but I don't see that, man.
I've never seen anyone grab a vagina, yeah. But I've definitely seen guys grab ass. Especially in the club. Oh, my God. If you're
now, what happens if you suddenly go, like, let's say someone grabs you and you go, like, help, you know? this fucker just grabbed my pussy, you know? I mean, what do you...
He's going to jail.
Yeah, but who's... If you can't prove anything...
I don't think...
It doesn't matter, right?
They'll arrest him
first.
I'm out of this conversation.
Why?
I would say that if that happened, like, in a nightclub, if some guy, like, if some girl had a skirt on, some guy groped some girl's vagina in the club, and she started screaming help, it don't matter who fucking saw it. You're going to jail.
Well, that's usually what happens when the guy winds up on his ass and some chick is standing over him with a bald fist and saying, do it again and I'll kill you.
Right. Yeah.
That's what he just did.
Right.
But nobody knows that.
Right.
I think a lot of women get groped that don't say anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, I say shit.
Well,
I'm a bitch.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm very rare. I'm a rare
breed. Well, I don't know how rare you are, but I, you know, you're very outspoken.
Yeah.
I can see where you would, but there are a lot of women who are not
like
outspoken.
Scared. Yeah, so there was this guy, there was this actor that I met. I'm going to leave his name out, but he's on a very popular show, like very, very, I would say famous. And I met him. He actually had sex with my friend in Boston. And we were both staying in the same hotel in Los Angeles because we were both filming a show. And for me, I'm like, oh, you fuck my homegirl. Like, we could be cool. We could be friends. Because I get along with all my friends are mostly guys. So I'm thinking you'll just be another one of my guy friends. So him and his friend came to my hotel room and they like brought a bottle and like they were being super aggressive. It was the first time in my life I was like, yo, I might have just put myself in a situation I can't get myself out of. So his friend left to go grab condoms and I go, why is he going to grab condoms? Like, I'm not fucking you.
Right.
So he got really aggressive. Mind you, this dude's a little twig. I will whoop your ass, right? So he tries
She says so, Jim. Yeah. Believe her.
That's what I said. She's outspoken.
Yeah. So he's like starting to get aggressive with me. And I grab his bottle of Hennessy. I go, if you lay a pinky on me, I will murder you in this hotel room. So his boy came back. He's like, man, fuck this bitch. Let's get out of here. Now, if I really wanted to, I could have pressed charges because you basically assaulted me.
Right.
So I was like freaked out. Called one of my girlfriends in California. I was like, I need you to come over. So she comes to my hotel room and I tell her who it is. And she goes, he raped my friend.
Really?
And I go, okay, did your friend do anything? She said she was petrified. She didn't say anything. So you're right. There's a lot of women who, on probably a weekend basis, get themselves in situations, especially with like celebrities or men that have power, and they're petrified to say anything because they don't want to be that bitch.
Right. And that's what the Me Too movement is all about, really. You know, it's about the women that are too terrified to say anything and stay quiet.
Well, there's safety in numbers.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel comfortable if you're around other women who have gone through the same thing that you have.
Yeah.
Right. And you feel sort of like okay to say something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big psychological deep sigh.
Right.
Finally, you're with people that understand what happened. And you're not around a bunch of old fucks that you know, blame you for being groped.
Right. Like, oh, it was her dress. She was asking for it. No, we're never asking for that type of attention.
I don't understand mentality of men. I don't, and I are one.
Right.
Couldn't spell it yesterday, but today I are one.
Okay.
I don't get it. I just don't understand it.
And it's just gotten worse. I feel like with social media and stuff, I think it's just gotten so bad. Like, men are just on a whole I feel like every woman to a degree, even if they've never been raped, has been sexually harassed.
Oh,
at some
absolutely.
Point in
I think you're absolutely right.
Just even like young girls.
To some degree.
Even
I think.
Like 13, 14 year old girls.
Right.
Especially if they look older and they hit puberty early and they're like at the store, like buying candy for their fucking sleepover and some creepy ass dude walks in. That's a 14 year old girl. What are you doing? Yeah.
But then they need to be taught, if you're a 14 year old girl, don't go outside with shorts that are climbing
right.
up butt cheeks.
Right, exactly.
And a
halter
that's our
top generation.
That's up right underneath your boobs.
Or crop tops to school.
You know, it's bullshit. And
because
that's
if
a lot
you
of
project
it,
sexiness, that's what people are going to see.
Schools have the responsibility, especially if the parents aren't going to take it,
right.
to make sure they dress appropriately. And so do their parents have the responsibility to make sure their children dress appropriately for their age group.
Right.
Ultimately, it's always the parents' responsibility.
Well, of course,
I think,
it is.
We can't lay it in the teacher's hands all the time.
Right.
You know?
And unfortunately, parents don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't know if Sam, you're the one that told me, but schools now have made it so girls can wear like sweatpants and yoga pants and crop tops to school now. No, yeah, like
at some schools. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, and when I was in middle school, if your skirt was like an inch above your knee, boom, detention, suspended. If you keep doing it,
my junior high and high school both had extremely rigid dress codes, and I mean, we couldn't even wear t-shirts unless they had a pocket on them.
Really?
Because they're not meant for outerwear.
Wow.
I mean, we had to wear button-down shirts and slacks. We couldn't even wear jeans. We couldn't even wear jeans.
I know. I was just going to bring that up. When jeans first came out, they wouldn't let you wear them in school.
That's crazy.
Right?
That's
well, they've
so
been,
weird.
Jeans have been out for 100 years. But
no, well, let's say in Israel, or at least when I discovered them. But, yeah, it was definitely like no jeans. And then I remember they finally said, okay, everybody can wear jeans. And everybody wore jeans.
I mean, who would want to wear jeans to school on an 8-hour day? I'm going in friggin' sweats. That was like me. I look like shit in high school. I was like, catch me looking
sweats
good at the party.
Sweats to go to school.
Pajamas, yeah, hoodies.
We used to dress. I mean, the guys in my high school looked really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, everybody dressed well.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
It's different. It's different today. They also, I mean, the biggest thing, my biggest shock when I came to this country at 16 was they had a smoking area for the students in the school.
That's so crazy.
Right?
Yeah, they did not have that
in my school.
In the 70s, I'm telling you,
not
I was in Vegas.
School.
Really? Because in Vegas, I was, every school had a smoking area.
Now,
it was unbelievable.
Did we smoke? Of course.
Right. Yeah, well.
But did we smoke in school?
Right.
Not even in the bathrooms, because they would catch you.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe they didn't want it in the bathroom, so they figured, you know, people are going to smoke anyway. Let's give
them
a...
Well, what you don't realize when you smoke is that you can smell it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody walks out of a bathroom and has been smoking, you know.
Right. I don't understand people smoking in bathrooms. You want to do the exact opposite. Yeah. You want to be outside.
And it's funny because when I was in high school, they started putting security guards in the parking lot for smoking and for people skipping. Because a lot of people would be like, fuck this, I'm out.
Did you have a closed campus?
No.
We did.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, it was like a long, it was a very long driveway to get down to school, though. Like, it's like if you were skipping, it's like you're sweating on your way out.
Right.
Like, if I get caught, I'm screwed.
Yeah, we didn't have a fenced campus, but it was closed. You couldn't leave during lunch.
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah. Like, security guards were, like, at the door. They like, just, where are you going?
They would catch you because they would go to where you would
Vegas must have been, like, pretty liberal.
They probably just, like, nobody's graduating. Goodbye.
I mean, we used to get... That's why it was a shocker to me because I came from Israel and it was pretty much the way you're describing. But then I came here. I moved to Vegas in 1976. I was in 11th grade. And we were driving to McDonald's during lunch. In our cars when we were 16 years old.
That's crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
So I can't imagine school.
There are schools that allowed that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just the same, you know.
I guess
with,
it's a school district.
Yeah, it's a school district, and it's the rules they put out for their particular school districts. And, you know, you get used to it. You don't even think about it.
Right,
you know,
right.
I never thought about leaving school for lunch. Why?
Right.
I only got 50 minutes.
Yeah,
what are you
going
to do in 50 minutes? You know? God, McDonald's was 6 miles away, so
we couldn't leave campus to get food.
For us, we would get. I had a big car. It was a Buick Electra. That's like if you can imagine, like a big Cadillac.
A deuce and a quarter.
What's that?
Electra 225 Limited.
Yeah.
I'm really bad with car names. Really bad.
But listen, they don't make them anymore. But it was a huge car, and I was 16 years old. But those cars were cheap at the time. That's why I got it.
Right.
And but everybody thought it was like my parents' car or something, right?
Oh, because it was ugly.
No, it was big.
Actually, that was the Buick's version of the Cadillac. Sedan DeVille.
Yeah, something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I was driving, I could take 6 people in the car, 7 people. We would drive to McDonald's.
Oh, my goodness.
And four in the trunk.
I mean, that would make you cool, though, I feel. Like, people would be like, yeah, we're going with Sam to get some lunch.
Yeah, it was cool.
He's the only guy that has a car that'll fit all of us.
Now they're going, hey, let's go hang out with the Israeli guy.
Legit.
He's a chick magnet.
Right. Let's talk about Armenians selling shit really quick.
Okay. What did they sell?
I went to...
a lot of them in dispensaries.
No. Okay. So
old dispensaries.
When I was going to that Halloween party for my friend's show, I went to this store and there's literally, it's a 4-year-old costume. My best friend wore it 4 years ago. It should be like $29.99. He was selling it for $100. So I was like, can we lowball this? Like, let's be serious. It's for one night. It's been on the shelf for like 4 years.
Right.
He's like $70. And I was like, no. I was like 40. He's like 50. I was like, deal, 50. Then he's like 60. I was like, no, 50. Then he was like, I sold 4 yesterday for $90. Then 10, like literally 10 seconds later, he's like, I sold 3 yesterday for $60. I'm like, what is it, dude? I've never seen anybody with worse selling skills.
Yeah, negotiation.
No personality, super rude. Like, it was almost to the point where, like, I don't even want to buy from you because I think you're a fucking dick.
Right.
And he's probably thinking, I don't want to sell to you because you're a bitch.
Yeah. Dead ass.
You get the fuck off of my store.
My friend got kicked out because he had an attitude. He's like, oh, it's just going to be collecting dust. He's like, you need to leave my store.
Yeah.
And I was like, can I try it on? Because most places will let you try it on. Because what if it doesn't fit?
Yeah.
He's like, no, you can't. I'm like, oh, God, I can't stand this dude.
Well, well, there's people, you know, there's all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
So let's see what else is going on. So, well, I really don't want to go into the politics. Do you? No, she doesn't.
No.
You don't.
No.
Let's not.
We're good.
Suffice it to say, I voted a month and a half ago.
Really?
When I got my mail-in ticket. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing, right? Then you don't.
I got it out of the way, and now I wished I didn't have to watch political commercials
anymore. Right. I know, it's done for you.
Yeah. Oh, it's been finished. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done what I can do. I keep getting emails from all these people and say, you know, we need your support. No, fuck you. You don't need my support. You don't even know who I am. I'm on a list. You know?
And that's true.
You know, I wrote one back and I said, you know what? I already voted a month and a half ago. I you know, there's nothing more I can do for you.
Right.
Well, no, you can volunteer at some time. No. Right.
I'm done volunteering.
I'm done. You know, I'm tired. I
think politics is so weird, especially after watching the show Scandal. It's like, I don't trust none of y'all.
Politics has turned into like this really rude thing.
It's just like, feel like everyone has, after shows like Scandal, it's just like, now that I see like political commercials and stuff, I'm like, how many people have you guys killed? That's right. All I can think of. Like,
yeah.
What are you guys doing to win? Because I feel like people will do anything to win.
Yeah.
Like, they put on this show, like, I'm about this and I'll do this and I'll save these people. But really, at the end of the day, they're really only trying to save themselves. Like, it's all about them at the end of the day. Do they really care about us? Probably not.
Yeah,
it's politics, you know. That's what it's about, you know.
I mean, it's so weird living in, like, a country where, like, all these things were invented. And it's like, who invented them? Like, who said that a room full of men would come up with laws and then, like, you know, then it's Congress and blah, 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 blah. Like, who came up with that?
Well, who did it?
Saying, like, who thought, you guys, like, we should really, like, write all this shit down and, like, you know,
yeah, well, that's it. The thing is that they were escaping, you know, monarchy and kings and everything.
Right.
So they were sitting together figuring out what we don't want to do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You tell us.
Thomas
you know.
Jefferson sat in a room and composed primarily most of the Constitution of the United
States. Right,
He did it with 2 bottles of tequila.
Really?
No.
I was like, that sounds great right now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, everybody, they would sit in the Constitutional Congress during the day, and they would go through everything they wanted on this document, and then Jefferson was the one that actually wrote it out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. But they were like, you know, pragmatic people, right?
Extremely pragmatic people.
Yeah, I mean, meaning that they wanted to fix.
Thank you. I'm glad you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, they came from what they felt was oppression, you know, by kings and queens and all that shit from England. And they came here and they decided, we're going to do something that's different.
I can't imagine us having a king. Can you imagine that?
No, well, they did.
No
they
president.
They have a king. King George here.
That's crazy.
It was. When we first started as a country, we were under the King of England.
Right. Until the War of Independence.
Right.
Until 1775, the first shots were fired on the Boston Green. Boston Common.
Boston, yeah. Right. Yeah, I remember. I remember bits and pieces of history.
Well, you're from Boston. You should know a lot more.
Right. They have a ride at the Canobie Lake called Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
For anyone that wants to go and check it out.
Well, the Boston Tea Party is a pretty famous thing that happened. But yeah, that was a protest against the king, right?
Right. So was the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they had like tax or something. It was about
tax
or something.
Well, it was taxation
right?
without representation.
Yeah, right.
They didn't feel, because England was so far away, that they didn't feel that the king should be able to dictate to them how much they had to pay in taxes.
Yeah.
And their taxes, if they had to pay any at all to the mother country, it should be a lot less.
Why do we have to pay taxes? Like, what for what?
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the income for the government.
Right.
How are you going to build roads? How are you going to do anything without taxes?
That's true.
The people have to pay. So
you're going to walk up and down the street and ask Granny Smith for a donation?
Right.
We need to fix your street. Do you want to give me $20?
Yeah.
Let me put it this way to you. Way easy to understand. It's like potluck, you know? Everybody brings in a little bit and you have a hole, you know?
I love potlucks.
Okay, so people, each one pitches in, and in the end you have something big.
Except for the people who really can afford it.
Right.
The people that really, really can afford it don't have to pay anything. That just pisses. And they get to drive on our roads.
Wait, what do you mean? Make their own roads. What do you mean?
Like the super, super uber rich don't pay taxes.
Why?
Because they don't have to.
That's not true, Jim.
Well, yeah, it is, Sam.
They don't pay as much as you'd like them to, maybe, but they pay taxes.
They pay more than I do, or less than I do.
And the thing is
this.
That's crazy. And if you're talking about corporations and stuff, you know, they contribute a lot with their employment and everything.
Some do.
What do you mean?
I was a member of a large corporation for a number of years. Some contribute, some do not.
What do you mean? But if you hire people...
That's not contributing. All that's doing is putting more employees out on the road or in the street. You're collecting taxes from them, yes.
Right.
But you're not really contributing anything else.
Well, no, but jobs. You're providing jobs. I think that's a good thing, right? Okay, so...
Enough about politics.
Okay, well, we have to go there sometimes. Did you hear about these newlyweds that died
in a helicopter crash two hours after their wedding?
They went on a helicopter flight after they got married.
Yesterday morning.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, they literally 2 hours after their wedding, and they took a picture, too.
It was carrying them from the wedding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it crashed.
Wow.
That's fucking devastating.
They just didn't have any luck at all, did they?
No, not at all.
But I mean, at least they went out together, though.
In Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
100 miles west of San Antonio.
I'm assuming the pilot died as well.
Probably, yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. Helicopter, not many survivors usually, right?
No.
He used to be a pilot.
No, you can survive helicopter crashes. People do it all the time.
Really?
I find that very hard to believe.
Most helicopters, if they go down, they ought to rotate. They don't just crash.
Right. They rotate.
What do you mean they rotate?
They ought to rotate
until they smash to the ground and blow up.
No, but I guess that kind of like eases the crash.
Well, no.
Can't you just get like a parachute?
No, you can't jump. You can't parachute out of a helicopter.
Why not, if you're a pilot.
But anyway, the airplane, the helicopter, auto rotate.
Only the big helicopters you can, but not the...
Well, they have, like the Chinooks, you go out the back.
Right. Okay, go on.
But anyway, the helicopter, they put it into auto rotation, they take it out of gear, and they allow the blades keep spinning, which is why they turn into the wind.
Right.
And it keeps them stable, and it gives them some lift, and they can manage to put it down. It's a rough landing.
It's got to be.
But you walk away from them.
But if you don't have, if the blades are not rotating, you're dead.
If the blades don't rotate, you're dead anyway.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm saying.
Everyone's always like, I can't wait. When I get a boyfriend, I want to go on a helicopter ride. And I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, my helicopters,
on the ground.
Most helicopters don't crash. And if they do, that's because they're not maintained properly.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, you're trusting someone to maintain it.
Right.
And you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You never know, you know.
Yeah. Like military, there are certain things that they have to do.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, a helicopter requires total overhaul in about 2,000 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it means ripping the entire helicopter.
Are you serious?
It has a heart attack.
Wow. So that's pretty often, though.
No, it's actually 2,000 hours is a lot of flight time.
Really?
If you really think about it.
Yeah, that's
most trips you take in a helicopter is like an hour and a half.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
That's way too long.
It's not like flying an airliner or something.
That's way too long.
Yeah. But so you wouldn't get on a helicopter?
No. Maybe if I was like super shit-faced and someone was like, let's go. And I was like, all right. And then as soon as I got up, I'd probably be hysterical.
Well, if you're super shit-faced, you'd probably blow chow all over the inside of the helicopters because they wobble around.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Wow.
No, thanks. I'd rather just like, let's go horseback riding.
Yeah.
Which is just as dangerous, but
done
still.
That too?
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I want to do it so bad.
Had horses for years. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've had a wreck where I broke 6 ribs and punctured my lung twice. And,
really?
Yeah.
I just want to do the one where like the guy is like holding the horse for you as you're strutting down the beach.
You see, you want a pony ride.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm sorry, you're too big to get on a pony.
When we went to Malibu Wine Farms, there was a horse there and we got to pet it and it was so beautiful. But I don't know how they like can do that all day long. Flies just like, and it's not just one, it's like 15 at a time just land on their face.
Well, they have fly masks they put on.
Yeah, they only had, all the horses had fly masks on except for one. I'm like, you should put her fly mask on. Like, even though we want to see her eyes, obviously. Yeah. But horses, when they hug you, they put their head right here.
Right.
Oh, it's so cute. Yeah.
And then they push hard down. They push down really hard on your collarbone.
Yeah.
If they're really affectionate, that's what they do. Really? Because that's what they do to their horse buddies.
Yeah. Right, right.
And they push down on
it's
your
like
collarbone.
It's like a hug or something,
oh, my
right?
God. And, I mean, my horse used to do it. It would hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying to push his head off. Get off me.
It's a strong animal.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
I actually had an Arab mare that was in season once, and I was feeding her, and I was talking to a friend of mine sitting on her feed box, and which is right next to her pipe corral, and I was sitting there chaperoning to a friend of mine. All of a sudden, I turn around, my horse is sitting in my lap. She came over and turned around and sat in my lap.
Really?
Yeah. Squatted down in my lap. I thought, oh, and then she was in season, so she got up, and my whole lap was sopping wet. Oh, it was gross.
Wait, what do you mean? Like,
they squirt.
What do you mean they squirt?
They have an effusive discharge.
Oh, my God.
So, they do. When they're in season, they do that.
Yeah.
In season for what?
For sex.
Mating.
For mating.
Mating.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so immature.
They get into season about 4 times a year.
Oh, my goodness.
So, he's talking about the stuff that comes out.
Right.
Yeah. Like ovulation like fluid.
It's just like a clear fluid, yeah.
So it's like ovulation fluid.
Yeah,
like.
it doesn't stink or anything. It just is wet, you know. Wow.
Good.
So what did you do after that? You're like, okay, everyone, have a great afternoon.
I didn't have to go change my pants, but I, you know, she didn't. That was the only time she ever did that.
Right.
Just one time. But it was.
So was she like horny for you?
No, she was just horny. Period. I caught her in my gelding, which had some balls. I caught them out in the corral having sex. So I called my
horses have sex.
Oh well, same way anybody has sex. He climbs.
What
up
do you
back.
Mean? How? Yeah, you climb. On
so
top.
I call my vet.
Like dogs.
Is this a problem? You know, because Mariah's a mare and Roseman's, you know, been gelded. And she said, "Does it look like they're having fun?" I said, "Yeah." Just don't worry about it.
Oh my God.
That's a good way to look at it.
That's funny.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah, I run around horses.
Yeah, horses are great. I feel like all animals are. I really, really have a newfound love for donkeys, though.
Donkeys.
Donkeys are a little
that's
nasty.
That's pretty random.
I think they're so cute. They look like little ponies that make really weird noises.
And they make big kicks and bite.
Oh, no, they do bite.
Yeah.
There was like a whole section of donkeys at Malibu Wine Farms. They're like, don't get anywhere near them. Do not put your hands in there.
And, you know, they run wild out in the desert.
Oh, really?
And burrows.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's hot out there.
In fact, if you drive out towards the Colorado River on the back roads, you'll see signs. The burrow crossings. And they have, you know, watch out for the wild burrows because they're everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
And so those are like wild animals.
Yeah, they're definitely wild.
Not the best.
I wouldn't jump on one.
Right.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Not even on a bet.
No, probably
well,
not.
Well, I'm not saying that I wouldn't do it on a bet because when I was younger, I used to do a lot of stuff on a bet.
Yeah.
Jump, I would do it if it was like at trains. A farm or like a sanctuary and they were more tamed.
Well, yeah.
And they were like used to human beings.
Yeah.
I don't think I would go up to any animal in the wild. Like there were zebras at Malibu Wine Farms and they weren't friendly.
Well, they bite too.
Yeah. He said that. He's like.
And they hiss.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Good.
They're cute though.
But they're
they
just,
funny
they're
teeth.
Actually, they're more like donkeys than they are horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I would say they have more similarities for sure.
Yeah. Jim, do you hunt?
No.
No. Thank
God, I would have been pissed if you just said that you did.
No.
Yeah.
Do you
I gave up hunting when I left Vietnam in 1971.
Yeah, huh? That left.
But that was like not a choice. You had to hunt.
Don't want to hold firearms anymore.
I know I have firearms. I have plenty of. But
really?
But I just don't hunt. All minor protection, self protection.
Yeah.
They're all pistols.
Yeah, I know. No, I can never think. I don't get people hunting. You know, killing for just for fun. You know,
most hunters don't kill for fun.
No,
they go out and they eat the meat and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, but you have to like gamey tasting meats, and I'm just not into gamey tasting stuff.
I feel like
I'm not a big liver fan. So,
I feel like a lot of people do hunt just for the fun of it, and those are the people that make me sick.
Well, those are the people
like they'll have like five dogs, but they'll kill Bambi. Like, fuck you, dude.
Right.
Like, what did Bambi ever do to you? She's just trying to get home to her mom.
Right.
You know? And then they don't do anything. They don't use the meat, nothing. They just have the dead body and toss it.
Yeah, just sort of like a target practice or something.
Right.
You know? I think many hunters do that.
I don't know about many, but I'm sure some do.
Yeah.
There was this wicked hot guy that I dated once, and he told me he hunted, and it was like a wrap. Like, never even fucking you.
Yeah.
Nope, not doing it. I like animals way too much to ever have anything in common with you.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever wake up on a Sunday and you tell me you're going to go hunting, like, I'm not going to be there when you get back.
Right.
But, you know, in this country, hundreds of years ago, you couldn't go to the grocery store and buy a steak. You had what you wanted to eat, you had to hunt.
Exactly.
That's wild.
Exactly. But that's the thing, you know, I mean, that's nature. And when it comes to nature, we're hunters just like everybody, just like other carnivores, I guess, right?
The world would be a better place if maybe that was still the case.
Right.
If, like, you had to hunt what you ate.
Why would it be a better place?
Because what they do to those animals is so bad. It makes me want to be a vegetarian, but I can't because I feel like I'd be really weak.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't, I'd be like malnourished.
But that's the thing. There's too many people in the world now. You can't sustain a world like that.
No.
Like, why do they have to lock them up like that and stuff? And why can't we just eat like old cow? Like a cow that's on its way out. Anyway. Like, why do we?
Maybe the meat is not good anymore.
Well, you don't know that you haven't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's true. Some of the red meat that I'd be picking up, I'm like, this doesn't look right to me.
No, I don't know. For the most part, I think it's okay. You know? But you're right. I mean, they do raise them and kill them under stress.
I know. There was like this commercial on the radio yesterday. It was like, yeah, farms have their caged animals. Our animals aren't caged. We kill them on our property. Like, it was the most bizarre commercial I've ever heard. I'm like, yeah, really? You want to go out and buy your meat now?
Yeah.
Like, good job on the advertising. Well, you know,
I was watching something. It was a documentary. Sorry, Danny.
It's okay.
But it was like this one guy was saying, well, you know, we make sure that our hogs are relaxed before we butcher them.
Right.
Because they don't want the adrenaline to get into the meat.
Right. And that's what, like, kosher butchery and stuff, you know, that's like some Jewish people eat only kosher, which means it has to be butchered in the right way and, you know, with as quickly as possible without the animals suffering
right.
and all that.
Yeah, but my whole thing is just like when you go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods and it has organic milk or organic cream or organic meat, that's just a label that some motherfucker is putting on there. You don't actually know if you are in fact eating kosher meat.
Well, no, yeah, but I mean, when it comes to kosher, it's a whole thing because these are people that really have a strong belief in God. If you're going to, like, fool them and stuff, that you're gonna be in big trouble. Let's put it that way.
Like karma?
No, I mean, no, they're going to kill you if they find out.
I have a really quick story about kosher meat.
But quickly because we only have a minute.
Yeah. Growing up in Del Mar, up in the hill, there was a liquor store, Zell Camille, Zell's Liquor. Zell and was just a really nice old Jewish guy, just the nicest guy. And I was used to be a graveyard cook at Denny's.
Okay,
golly, it was about after senior year in high school. And Zell used to come in; he'd go out and get bombed, and he'd come in at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he'd come in and sit down, and he would order kosher ham and eggs. Everybody used to wonder what he was talking about. He goes, well, if I call it kosher, I can eat it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because ham, you're not supposed to
eat. Right,
because
it's pig.
Not kosher, exactly.
It's the cloven hoof.
Because you don't eat pig, right?
No, well, you're not supposed to. I do.
Oh.
I enjoy
bacon.
Pork, yeah, in many forms.
I hate bacon.
I'm sorry.
I hate bacon.
You're one of few people, right.
But I love like Christmas time with the honey ham. Oh my God, so good.
Oh, aren't they good, honey bacon?
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right, well, we could sit here and talk all day, folks, because that's what we do here. We talk. Jim, tell quickly how they can find you, listen to your show.
They can find us right here at LA Talk Radio at 7 p.m. on Thursdays, Channel 2, if you don't know. You can reach me at jimchristina@yahoo.com for email and jimchristina.net. And my for my website and for publishing, Black Dog Publishing at blackdogpublishing.co.
There you go. Or you can just Google it. But yep. Jim will help you put your book together. Yep. And he's the right guy to go to for sure. I love having you here, Jim. Thank you
love
so much for coming.
You bet.
Give our love to your wife.
I will.
Danny, thank you.
You're
as always.
Welcome.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.